and my fellow Pennsylvanians.
This state's electoral votes are key to who wins the presidency, and both of the candidates know it.
We win Pennsylvania, we win the whole deal. You know that. Just like last time.
But states like Pennsylvania are going to be incredibly important.
The only thing left on the board is Pennsylvania. The president cannot get to the finish line without the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
One state all four candidates are visiting today is Pennsylvania. Its 20 electoral votes are highly coveted, and the Keystone State could end up being one of the determining factors in the race.
Jill's a Philly girl, but I'm a screen guy.
Oh, Pennsylvania, we love Pennsylvania.
In this special episode, we're taking a break from Pittsburgh politics and the overall Pennsylvania political landscape. We're sitting down with someone I've known and respected for the last several years. Patty Lewis is the executive director of the Beau Biden Foundation. This nonprofit's doing incredibly important work that's not always comfortable to talk about. But over this difficult year, the work of the foundation is more important than ever before. And before the launch of the foundation, Patty ran the family division in the Delaware AG's office. She is a passionate advocate for children and a tireless organizer. You know, there's a debate happening this month in May in the state Senate, and I hope that our many listeners in Harrisburg will take Patty's message to heart.
I think of myself, and I mean this sincerely, as Beau Biden's dad. And he was so devoted to the cause of children in distress, missing and exploited children. And it was sort of the dirty little secret that still remains not recognized by the nation as a whole. Many of you know of people where children are on the edge, not being treated very well at all. But there's a tendency to say, no, it's not my business. It's not my business. That's a family issue. A child abused is not a family issue. A child abused, these are all our children.
Patty Lewis, welcome to my kitchen table.
Oh, it's nice to be here. It's nice to see you, Ari. I was thinking, how long has it been since we were able to get together? Probably on a train somewhere between Pennsylvania and D.C., right?
Yeah, you know, I remember, it seems like ages ago now, but your annual golf outing there in North Wilmington in 2019, in the fall of 2019, and being with hundreds of people in a reception seems like such a long time ago. And then the year before, your annual 5K in the Wilmington waterfront, and thinking of 5K races these days is also seems like ages ago.
We've been really lucky, at least with the golf tournament. No. We've been able to maintain the golf tournament. Not as many folks, but definitely a healthy number. As when you were there in 2019, I think we filled out three courses in Wilmington. And then we also have a tournament down in Rehoboth on Rehoboth Bay. There's a golf course called the Peninsula, and it is stunningly beautiful, and we love going down there. So that's our next one in July.
You are our first non-Pennsylvania guest on Pennsylvania Kitchen Table Politics, but you went to law school in Pennsylvania. But to tell our guests a little about how you now serve as executive director of the Beau Biden Foundation. What was your journey from New Jersey to Pennsylvania to Delaware?
I'm a true tri-state woman, having been raised in New Jersey, educated in Pennsylvania and Delaware. And I joined the Delaware Department of Justice immediately upon graduation from Delaware Law School. And I went to Cabrini University in Radnor, Pennsylvania. Absolutely loved it there. Still go back as often as I can. Decided to stay in Delaware because it was the dream job for me. And I remember it was Attorney General Charlie Oberle said to me, you know, everybody comes in here and says that's what they want to do with their career. They want to protect kids and the elderly and people that can't protect themselves. And they run screaming from the job 6 months afterwards. What's going to make you different? And I said, well, I'm one of eight children. And we lived in South Jersey. We had three bedrooms and one bathroom. I think when you've navigated that with five brothers, you pretty much can tolerate any level of chaos. And so I told him from my heart, this is what I love. And fairly early into that journey, I started teaching at Delaware Law School, which we also have a branch in Harrisburg, as you probably know, the Commonwealth Law School, and met a young senator there who really was very committed to issues involving children and families. And his name was Senator Biden. So we had our classes ended up actually being back to back and got to spend a good bit of time. And he brought me into the fold on some federal legislation around child support and child protection. And I stayed with that for the 30 years of my career with the Department of Justice. I was also appointed at one point to be the court-appointed special attorney for children who were abused and neglected in Delaware. Again, a job I loved, but going back to the Department of Justice, that's where my heart was, to give a voice to these children and victims of violence that didn't have a voice. And during my time with working on different issues with now President Biden, I had the pleasure to meet his son, Beau. And when Beau graduated from law school and started his career, we talked frequently about his commitment to children. You know, he was in Philadelphia at the United States Attorney's Office as a prosecutor and called me up one day and said, I'm going to run for attorney general. What do you think? And I said, well, if we're going to do something to help kids and families, then I'm 100% with you. And we were together pretty much every single day from that point on until he was left office. And then, as you know, tragically passed away. About a week after that, I got a call from our friend, Josh Alcorn, and said, the Bidens would like to meet with you about this foundation that they want to carry on Beau's mission. And we sat down at a table like this, and they said, Beau wanted one person to run this organization, and it's you. So I went home that day and told my husband, I'm retiring. And he started laughing. He was like, from what? I've been teaching at the law school at that point, I guess, about 25 years. I just hit my 31st year at the law school as an adjunct professor. And I said, I want to run Beau's foundation. And with the message, Ari, is very simple. We are carrying on what Beau wanted us to do. We had plans. As you know, he was running for governor when he passed away. And Beau and I had a whole file on what we were going to do. And it really centered around giving a voice to the voiceless, protecting children, and confronting abuse. If you ever were at a party with Beau Biden, you knew one thing. He wasn't afraid to talk about child abuse and domestic violence. Child abuse was where his heart really was.
Patty, on many, many, many levels, thank you. We were a family of four growing up with only one bathroom, so I can commiserate a small bit, but that was a much larger family you had. It was just my brother and me. My understanding is that part of Beau's legacy was founding the family division within the Delaware AG's office. And if you can speak to that, and you had the honor of being in the trenches and being there at the founding and serving as the director of that. And not every state has an AG's office that includes a family division. But if you can kind of reflect back, what would that be now, almost 15 years ago, to the founding of that?
Well, again, one of the things that we talked about and has been talked about generally is a real disconnect within the system for children and families, right? So people that are in need have to run all over the place between criminal and civil and administrative. Delaware is really uniquely situated in that in Delaware, there are no county prosecutors like there are in Pennsylvania and New Jersey and everywhere else, except for, I think, Rhode Island and Hawaii. What we have is a unified attorney general as the chief law enforcement officer leading the prosecution of everything in the state. So we had this ability, Beau had this idea, let's bring these things, criminal and civil, together in a family division. Let's make sure we have people, attorneys, that this is their commitment. They're not coming here for 6 months into the juvenile unit to get out and go prosecute homicides, which is an amazing job. And the people that do that should be given a lot of credit. But we had then the ability to have people who prosecuted juveniles, who prosecuted child protection, who prosecuted child abuse, who represented the division of children, youth, and their families, who represented the child support division. So that a person who's involved in the family court system and in many cases, other courts had to go to all these different places, but you would meet with one group of people that worked on these cases. And because we did civil and criminal, it gave the attorneys a much deeper look into the system. And knowing that sometimes the best way to protect a child or a family wasn't through criminal prosecution. It was through civil prosecution. And that civil prosecution was important, making sure people who had abused children were placed on the child protection registry was often very much as important as getting a conviction in a child abuse case. And in some to some extent is more important because that is a registry that is handled in a way that focuses on the needs of children. So that's what we did. And we had the least turnover in the whole Department of Justice for 8 solid years. People came to those jobs committed to protecting children, protecting families, protecting vulnerable victims. We really expanded. Bo did a couple of really interesting things. One of the things we saw was in the elder abuse cases, they were generally family members, and it was generally from a family that had been dysfunctional all along. So he created the Senior Protection Council, and he put in charge of that a woman who was committed to this issue, who now is actually a legislator in Delaware, Representative Krista Griffith, but who went into this job with a commitment to address these issues. And so he expanded that role. And, you know, it's a good thing he also set up in Delaware the Internet Crimes Against Children Unit. And he went to Washington and he got the money for it and he set it up. Thank God, right? Because about, I guess, 2-3 years into his term as Attorney General, we had a pediatrician who came from Pennsylvania, was at Jefferson Hospital in Philadelphia, came to Delaware to set up his practice, sexually assaulted more than 1,000 children. At the end of the day, the civil case determined more than 1,000 children were molested by this pediatrician. And that's when Beau Biden said, you know what? I don't care what they say, Patty. I know we're supposed to fight crime and we're supposed to put people in jail. But what are we going to do about educating people? This crime could have been totally prevented through the education of the community, of doctors, nurses, lawyers, teachers, everybody who deals with children, and parents. If families knew how those who will prey on your children operate, then we would have been able to stop this. And so that was his commitment to protecting children and families. These destroyed families.
Once again, I'll just say on many levels, thank you for the work that you and your team and certainly Bo were doing then. And now let's jump to the present. My understanding is the Bo Biden Foundation is operating in 22 states and over 9,500 individuals have been trained in what you call stewards of children. But if you could speak to that, and in particular, I know you've done some great work in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and maybe speak also a little of your expansion into Pennsylvania.
Yeah, we have. And of course, Pennsylvania was a very natural expansion for us. Certainly the crisis that occurred as a result of sexual abuse of children on Penn State's campus and what followed in the Free Report was very, very troubling. And we when this foundation was established and we decided our mission was Bo's mission to protect children and confront abuse, we started doing several trainings. We started with the Stewards of Children training, a wonderful training that is a 2.5-hour training that we did and continue to do. We also have expanded and created our own training. So in this past year, if you don't mind my talking a little bit about the pandemic and what that's done to children, Ari, and families. And
I know we're all online, and it was right. So, I mean, it was really so forward thinking back in 2008, that Bo was thinking about the internet even before all the social media apps and everyone having smartphones.
I mean, on so many fronts, right? So you have children in some circumstances whose only real protection was going to school. That's where they got their medicine. That's where teachers and school nurses and school counselors, amazing people, all of them, were able to observe a child with bruises, with a black eye. Now, all of a sudden, we don't have that. So actually, in Pennsylvania, driving through Pennsylvania from Buffalo to Delaware, I was actually doing a training in Buffalo for about 80 teachers and school administrators when John Carney closed the state. And on the way back, my colleague, Dr. Patricia Scott, and I created a training called Protecting Children in Virtual Learning Environments. This past year, we've trained 7,800 teachers, administrators, counselors in how to protect children in a virtual environment, how to spot some things that might be happening to a child. Remember, a lot of these children, this is where they got their medication every day. The nurse, school nurse gave it to them. This is where they got their breakfast and their lunch, and sometimes were able to grab a few granola bars for their dinner. So now the watchful eyes on children weren't there anymore. And so that's why our Protecting Children in Virtual Learning Environments training has been so important across the country. As you said, in fact, we've added another state. We're 23 states. We've trained people in virtual learning environments. We train them from Puerto Rico to Alaska. People got on that training in the middle of the night virtually so they could learn about how to protect kids. And we know what's been going on with kids. We know that reports to the hotlines around the country dropped precipitously, immediately, because those eyes weren't on kids. And so this was so important, teaching them A, what the law is, B, some of the things they will see, and C, why you need to report. Pennsylvania has some amazing public service announcements. I always love April as Child Abuse Prevention Month, and Pennsylvania has the best public service announcements of any state I've ever been in on why you need to report child abuse. Let me just use this as an example, Ari. The year that Bradley happened, 2010, I think it was. It's amazing how old you get and everything seems like it was yesterday, but it really was a long time ago. There were about 5,500 complaints to the Delaware hotline. Last year, there were 21,000. Now, we haven't had a significant increase in population. What's happened? What's happened is we have trained people throughout the state and throughout this country to report abuse. Now we're working on the virtual aspect, and shortly we will be moving into a training that we have created with some amazing medical personnel called Children Emerging from Trauma. So we know that there are children that have been sheltering in place with their abusers. Sometimes it's their parents, sometimes it's relatives, sometimes it's a next door neighbor who comes in to babysit them. And we know that when these kids come back from trauma, whether it's into school or into Boys and Girls Clubs, there's going to be issues. There's going to be stuff that no one ever anticipated could happen. And teachers are going to see some, and folks who volunteer at Boys and Girls Clubs, they're going to see some really bad behavior. And the issue now is how to address it. The issue for children emerging from trauma is, what can we do to minimize the trauma these children have suffered? What can we do for this, you know, once in a generation crisis to move children on safely? So look, we know disclosure of abuse takes a very long time, but these children are going to need special attention as they come out. Look, not every kid, right? So there are kids who were in a wonderful position with wonderful families whose parents sat with them and taught them and they learned online and everything was perfect. On the other hand, there's been a lot of kids either being abused or being groomed for abuse online. Online virtually all the time, which I think you get a neurologist on here, they're going to tell you that's not good for children. It's not good for anybody, but it's certainly not good for children. I mean, it really can cause significant neurological deficits. So that's number one. Number two is, you've got kids that have been online with 500,000 predators. That's what's online at any given time. 500,000 predators. You know, we've learned from our friends at the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, the average age now for what we call sexting, what really is child-produced child pornography, is 9 years old. 9 years old. 9-year-olds are being viewed online by predators. And they're, because they have this computer and they have no one really supervising them. So we've got some issues we have to deal with. And that's why we're creating this training.
Patty, you've been super generous with your time. And I want to pivot to an end on a higher note, still a difficult discussion. But in Harrisburg now, in the month of May, there's a debate raging in the state Senate. And you testified in Harrisburg, and there was bipartisan support in the state House. And there were protesters chanting window. And maybe you can share with our listeners who I'm so happy that we now have crossed 2,200 listeners, almost all of whom are Pennsylvanians, but give some perspective on that debate and where you think it's going, and if you're comfortable, where you think the state Senate should go.
Well, Ari, you know that I'm comfortable saying where I think the state Senate should go. I think the state Senate should represent the interests of the people. And the interests of the people is to break down this wall, the statute of limitations wall. And you've got a lot of people fighting it, but I want you to look at the people that are fighting it and look at what their interests are compared to the people that are arguing to make sure the statute of limitations doesn't continue to terrorize survivors of abuse, the families whose children were victimized and who took their own lives, the people who can't even function anymore because of what happened to them. I mean, read the report from your attorney general. Read the Shapiro report. How can anybody think that we do not protect the interests of survivors? And don't listen to the hype that the sky is falling, okay? Because the sky is not going to fall. It's been done in states all over the country. Delaware, as you know, was one of the first states to do it. It was the first thing Beau Biden was committed to when he came into office. And we worked with our state Senate. The bill got passed. I mean, really, when I look at what's gone on in Maryland, which is also in a nightmare situation with the statute of limitations, because of people who have other interests than the protection of children and families, what we saw in Delaware was none of that. The bill got passed. There were some people that were not happy. Beau told them that was too bad, that we would work together to make this a more just society for everybody. And bringing down that statute of limitations is not about money. It's about the knowledge of where predators came from and where they are and where they will continue to be unless we allow people their day in court to talk, to speak, unless we allow lawyers the opportunity to have discovery of what was going on in the institutions that allowed this to proliferate. So that's number one, really, is getting the information, Ari. And don't these people, look, you know that in some states, traffic tickets have no statute of limitations. And we would deny a child raped repeatedly in most cases by a trusted adult the right to bring a cause of action. And we would deny them the right to have their voice and deny the rest of the community, which is really the worst part, the right to know where this was happening. People don't understand how bad this was and is. 1 in 10 children will be molested in this country today. When we started doing this work, I think it was, I hate the phrase 2.5, but it was like 2.8 children. So we know what doing the work will protect, but we need to make sure that people understand grooming, which is a training we also created, and understand that the average age of disclosure of child abuse in this country is 50 years old. Some have it 52, some have it 54, 50 years old. Why can't people tell? Because they feel no one will believe them. So what the Senate needs to do is stand up and say, we will believe you. We will believe people like Mark Rossi. Representative Mark Rossi is truly an amazing man. Every time I've sat with him, and I actually had the opportunity to meet him through a friend from Villanova, who Dante Santoni, who was also a state representative, and he knows how committed I am to this, and said, I really want you to meet this man, Mark Rossi. I know Mark a long time. And wow, to know somebody like him and see what he's done, put his whole life out there, Ari, to protect other people. And so what are you protecting if you don't allow the statute of limitations? What if you say no to the statute of limitations? You are protecting perpetrators of child abuse. I mean, you know, with all the acrimony, if you will, in the political field today, can we not rally around one thing? Can we all agree, despite any of our differences, we care about our children? We want to protect our children? I mean, is this so hard? We want to protect children over institutions. Exactly what Judge Free found in the Free Report. Exactly what Attorney General Shapiro has found in his report. Are we going to protect institutions or are we going to protect children? To me, there's nothing political about it. It's nonpartisan issue. How can you look at the people who put you in office and protect institutions over them? And my final pitch on this is, it shouldn't even be a pitch. Number three is that Delaware and Pennsylvania are like peanut butter and jelly. We're together. We're together. You know, we just always were. We always will be. You have people who live on one side of the street in Pennsylvania, who live in Pennsylvania. And on the other side of the street, they live in Delaware. You know that our trail race runs right along the border. I think it probably goes over a few places. How can people in Delaware be afforded this respect and people in Pennsylvania not? People who probably go to the same parish. When I did my student teaching, I taught in Pennsylvania. When I got out of college and was teaching, I was teaching in Pennsylvania. How can we say to people in Pennsylvania, you can't have the rights that people in Delaware have on the other side of the street? On the other side of the street, Pennsylvanians flee to the Target in Delaware. I mean, you go through that parking lot, it's all people from Pennsylvania. We go to Pennsylvania three times. Our office is a mile and a half from Pennsylvania. And half of our employees live in Pennsylvania. How can their children not have the same protection that my child has? How can their families not have the same protection and the same rights? You know, if for no other reason, we are partners in this.
Patty, thank you again for lending your time. Being there in the trenches is such an important battle. And this month of May is going to be hopefully not too much of a battle. Hopefully the state Senate heeds your message and recognizes the bipartisanship in the state house last month. Tell folks, you know, this is the 6-year passing of Beau this month. And to honor his legacy, how can folks who are listening get involved in the foundation's great work? Because there are ways for everyday individuals to get involved, whether they can run a 5K or
you
not.
You can run a 5K or you can come and help us at the 5K. I mean, you can take a look at me. I'm not a 5K runner, but you can come and help us with the 5K. You can get trained. You can have your school district trained in the Beau Biden Foundation Shield of Protection. We are the only organization in the country that offers this, and we offer it all over. And the reason we do that is because the shield of protection will give your school district, your church, whatever organization your kids are in, you will know people have been trained and they have safe policies, procedures, and practices to protect your children. We know you can do that. So please volunteer. Come to our website. It's going to be real hard to remember. www.BeauBidenFoundation.org. One word, BeauBidenFoundation.org. Come to our website. We have wonderful ebooks that you can download for free, and it will really help parents start that conversation with protecting your children online, talking to your kids about bullying. So that's what we do. We train people in things that will protect children, protecting them from bullying, protecting them from cyberbullying, protecting them from online predators, protecting them from grooming and abuse in the organizations that they're in.
Well, Patty, thank you on many, many levels. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, Ari.
Thank you all so much for listening to today's episode of Pennsylvania Kitchen Table Politics. As Hillary Clinton used to say, it takes a village. This podcast would not be possible without the help of Sarah McGrath and Jake Schwartz. If you liked this discussion, we would love for you to give us a review, subscribe, and rate us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you have a suggestion on a future guest and other feedback, visit our website, papoliticspodcast.org. Don't forget to follow us on social media at PA Political Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn.